How do you do? Few of us have ever had to choose between life and death as Abraham did, and fewer still would make the choice he made. But the man in this story faced a similar test, choosing between someone he loved and the one he loved most of all. In the end, he made the right decision because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
I'm gonna miss Dad.
Me too. Though I didn't see much of him after we moved to Florida.
Me neither. His death sure took me by surprise.
I always wanted him to see what God is doing at Shiloh. Now he won't have the chance.
Death is final.
The last time I spoke with Dad, he said, "How are you gonna go out in the woods and do what you say God's gonna do?"
A lot of people are wondering that, Jim.
Not me. I trust the leading of the Lord.
I think maybe it's time to trust in a motel. This storm is turning into a real blizzard.
I'll have to call Annette and tell her we'll be coming home late, and see how she and the baby are doing.
Hello?
Mary, it's Jim, and we're snowbound in North Carolina. Let me talk to Annette.
Annette isn't here, Jim. She collapsed.
What do you mean?
She had a complete breakdown.
Where is she?
At her grandmother's house. She's emotionally exhausted.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories of real people, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people wander the concrete paths of the city, looking for respite, but unable to change their tedious lives. Those who discover Pacific Garden Mission find the way out of their predicament. The old lighthouse offers showers and fresh clothing, nourishing meals, and a clean, safe bunk for the night, all without charge thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Even medical and dental treatment is given in the Mission Clinic, free to resident guests. Hundreds of men, women, and children come to the Mission each day, and pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who can transform their lives. He says, "I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3278 in the series, Unshackled. The program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Is this Mr. Hinkle?
Yes, it is.
Well, this is Dr. Hughes at the hospital in West Palm Beach.
Yes, doctor. How's my wife doing?
Well, not very well, I'm afraid. She's very withdrawn.
What can I do to help her?
Well, you can get her out of that jungle where she's living. She can never go back there to live. It's driven her to despair. If you take her back there, you'll lose her completely.
Hard words to hear for the man in our story, whose purpose in life was to build a boys' ranch. In this conclusion of his testimony, James Hinkle describes the adversity he faced and why. This is his true story, right now on Unshackled.
How could I ever choose between Annette, my beloved wife, and the work God had given me to do? Build a ranch where young people could come and learn God's truth. How did living by faith come to this? We had been married nearly 6 years by then and had a son who was 5 and a daughter newly born. God had blessed us with 31 acres of land. He had provided a road grader that cleared roads for us through the undergrowth. He had even given us the use of a house trailer where we lived in the middle of the land while we waited for God's next step.
I'm sure glad we're not trying to live in that tent you borrowed.
I can see it over there. It's holding up.
That's good, but it sure doesn't hold out the mosquitoes. How did they get into this trailer?
They get in when we open the door.
Mosquitoes, snakes, rats. You sure know how to treat a girl, Jim.
Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this,
that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
I'm afraid I ran out of patience a while back.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Living by faith is really hard, Jim.
I know, honey. But God will always provide. Look how he provided this trailer for us and the tent for a tabernacle.
It'll be surrounded by mud tomorrow. I sure hope we don't sink in the mud. What is that sound?
I'll see. Oh my! The wind ripped the tent open last night!
Jim, the piano will be soaked. The songbook's ruined.
Come on, we've got to go get it stitched back together.
We patched and salvaged what we could and resumed services in the old tent. People came to worship. I also preached at other churches around the state, gaining interest in the boys' ranch. Someone gave us a metal barn, 24 by 48 feet, to replace the tent. We borrowed a tractor pulling a disc to break up the soil for the floor of the sanctuary. The teenage son of a church board member was operating the tractor when the tractor reared up and fell backwards, pinning him between the tractor and the disc. I raced over, beseeching God, and grabbed a pole that I wedged under the steering wheel to pry him loose.
Are you okay?
Yeah, not a scratch on me, but I sure was scared.
Thank God you're not hurt.
You warned me to be careful, Pastor.
What a relief.
The enemy is trying to discourage us.
He's doing a good job. I can't take many more scares like that.
I'm sorry, Annette.
The Lord sure does test our faith.
We built the barn that had one window, one door, open trusses, and a straw floor. We also built benches from wooden planks. The old barn was an oven in summer and an icebox in winter. Our only heat was a small kerosene stove, and one evening just before time for the service, the stove exploded. I could see flames racing through the straw as I ran to the barn. Fervently I prayed, "Lord, the devil is trying to drive us out. Please put the fire out." Folks, when I opened the door of this barn, it was like a large hand moved over the sanctuary here, smothering the flames. God is awesome. We may smell like we've been to a cookout, but we're on our way to heaven. I don't understand why all these things are happening, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I know that the just shall live by faith. Everywhere we turned, something went wrong. Something fell apart. I entreated the Lord but had no answer, so we persevered. We started building our first real house on the property. One day I was burning debris in a fire pit, and the fire burned down to a gray ash that looked as if it was out. Our 5-year-old son stepped barefoot into the embers. Pain caused him to lose his balance, and he fell, catching himself with his right hand. His terrified screams brought us running, and we rushed him to the hospital.
He didn't realize the danger, Jim.
It's my fault. I shouldn't have let him near the fire pit.
Burns are so painful. My heart aches for him. We're so isolated out there. We have to be more careful.
Here comes the doctor.
Your son has second and third degree burns on the bottom of his feet and hand. We need to keep him overnight because he needs special care.
He's our son. We want him with us.
Besides, we don't have insurance.
The burned skin needs debridement.
We love him. We'll do whatever it takes.
In time, he'll need skin grafts. You must keep the burn area free of infection.
Tell us what to do, and we'll do it.
Bring him back in 5 days, and we'll inspect the wounds.
We called church members, asking them to pray for us. And when we took our son back to the hospital, I assured the medical staff that God had healed our son. When they undid the bandages, they found skin like new. No need for skin grafts. how we praised God for his healing power. Moreover, someone paid the entire hospital and doctor bill for us. The Bible promises in Philippians chapter 4, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Annette had just given birth to our daughter when my father died in Pennsylvania, and my brother and I drove to the funeral. Coming home, we ran into a blizzard in North Carolina. That's when I called and learned that Annette had collapsed. I cried out to God in my distress. "Oh Lord, why are all these things happening to us? I'm trying to be obedient to your call to build a place where boys can learn about you. Father, I'm trying to live by faith that you will provide our needs. Lord, the cost is becoming very dear."
"Where's Annette now?"
"In Fort Pierce with her grandmother."
"Jim, maybe it's time to borrow money or sell bonds or something to build the ranch. It's too hard on Annette to live in such primitive conditions."
"I don't understand why we're having so many problems, but I know that God will provide in his own time."
"What about the children?"
"They're with Annette. Her family made arrangements to put Annette in the hospital in West Palm Beach."
"Look, you can use my car to take her there, Jim."
"Thank you. My car is old and unreliable." I left my children with my brother, and using his new car, I took Annette home to get some clothes and toiletries. As she opened a drawer to get what she needed, a big rat jumped out at her. She screamed and dissolved in tears. I thought to myself, the further I go, the deeper it gets, the harder it gets.
We'll hear more about Jim's challenges in a moment. Offer unto God thanksgiving, the Bible tells us. And this Thanksgiving, we want to thank God for the great things he has done for us. He continually increases the number of listeners and radio stations that broadcast Unshackled. He provides the funds, the translators, and production teams so that millions around the world can hear these dramas in their own language. He keeps the light burning in the old lighthouse, bringing lost souls to hear the good news of his salvation. He provides doctors and nurses, pastors and counselors to encourage and disciple each guest. The Bible admonishes us to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This Thanksgiving, remember the homeless at Pacific Garden Mission. To join us in this endeavor, send your gift to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Donate online at www.unshackled.org.
As I was driving Annette to West Palm Beach on Route 60, we had a head-on collision, damaging my brother's new car to the point we couldn't continue. I called the parishioner who drove us the rest of the way to the hospital. I was overwhelmed by this latest calamity.
"Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. All I asked you to do was use me. And ever since, I've been in the grinder, one thing after another."
I can't describe how I felt leaving Annette at the hospital that night and going home to a dark, empty trailer. I felt responsible for her breakdown. Day after day, I drove 100 miles to sit with my wife till nightfall when I drove home. Then there came the night I got a call from the doctor at the hospital.
"You can never take your family back to that place. You're killing them. They're being crushed by what they're going through, the isolation, the physical challenges. They will never survive."
I went outside to the place where I felt the tabernacle would be built someday, where I would one day preach God's word, and I got on my face to pray. I poured my heart out to God. "Lord,
You know how much I'm hurting. I love my wife and children. But even if you take her and them, I can't turn back unless you release me from this calling you placed on my life. I thought about Abraham as I walked, crying, back to the trailer. I was brokenhearted and confused, but God knew. As the psalmist wrote, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I had to keep trusting in the Lord. Hello?
Mr. Hinkle?
Yes.
There's been a dramatic improvement in your wife's condition. She wants to go home, so you can come and pick her up.
I made fast tracks to West Palm Beach and got Annette from the hospital. Then I retrieved our son and daughter from my brother's house.
Are you taking your family back to that ranch?
Yes, that's home now.
I still think you ought to get a loan to make improvements.
God will provide what we need.
I hope he'll provide you with some money to pay the deductible on my car repair. Insurance will cover everything but that. And I can't get my car out of the shop until I pay the full amount.
Let me know how much. God began to move mightily in our lives. I preached evangelistic meetings at various churches, and one night after such a meeting, an older couple invited me to visit them the next day.
I was a pastor for years, and our only son would be about your age.
Would be.
God called him to preach, but he resisted the call.
Like Jonah?
Yes. He lived a rebellious life until his death as a young man.
I'm sorry for your loss.
We kept some of his life insurance money, and when you were preaching last night, it was as though our son was in the pulpit. God showed us that the money was for you. Here.
Oh, thank God.
To obey is better than sacrifice.
The amount he gave me was just the amount my brother needed to cover his insurance deductible. That couple would become like family to us. The ranch improved.
There's a truck coming up the road.
It's building material. We're going to start building a house for us to live in. Big enough for us and a couple of boys.
Where did the supplies come from?
Where else? From the Lord.
That phone call you got last week.
Yes. People hear about our ministry and offer to help.
I am glad you persevere, Jim.
God really tested us. You might say he put us through boot camp.
Yes, he did.
The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts.
When the house is built, where will you get the boys?
There's a juvenile correctional place not too far from here. I'm going to go talk with the director. I better go out and tell the driver where to unload. When the house was finished, I met with the director of the juvenile facility and shared my vision for helping boys. He put me in touch with a counselor in the state system, and soon we had as many boys as we could accommodate in our little house. We trust in the Lord for everything here, boys. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you."
I'd ask to get out of this work.
Any of you boys ever had a vegetable garden before? Hard work prepared me for this ranch, so be diligent, because you don't know what the Lord has planned for your life. The Bible says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave."
Do we get paid to work?
Nobody gets paid. Like me, you get your food and a place to live, no salary. But you'll learn to trust in God so you can go into the world and make a difference.
Make a difference how?
By pointing people to the Lord. We're called to be his witness.
The only witness I ever knew talked against me.
There's a war going on out there, and you are on the winning side now. God chose you to be a warrior. a spiritual warrior, and this is boot camp. Will you learn to trust in God?
I don't really trust anyone.
You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins.
How do you know that?
Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
How do you believe in someone you can't see?
Faith. You don't see in order to believe. You believe in order to see. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. I reckon you boys know you're sinners.
We wouldn't be here otherwise.
Well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Why should I trust God?
Because he loves you more than anyone. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
We'll see.
That boy's mother objected to our approach in helping her son. But after he came to Christ, she saw his transformed life when he went home, and she said, "I have a new son." God provided in unusual ways. One man gave us stock in a venture that was looking for sunken treasure off the coast of Florida. One day, a retired army colonel came by to see our ranch.
"I've heard about this place, and I came to see what it's all about."
It's all about faith in God.
I understand that you help troubled boys.
We help them learn the word of God and to live by faith in him. Everything you see here came from God as he moved in people's hearts to provide the means. You probably think I'm crazy, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
I don't think you're crazy.
Good. God is building this ranch one section at a time. The first building we want to construct is a dormitory right over there.
What size?
36 by 72 feet.
I'll pay for the materials if you'll build it.
That man enabled us to build our first dormitory. When it was finished, we took in more boys, most from the court system, some from state reform schools. 6 years later, we built a second dormitory and dedicated the building to the woman who donated the land for the ranch. Then, we built the tabernacle. Besides farming and growing our own vegetables, we also raised chickens and cattle and hogs, which gave the boys practical experience. Every need we had, we took to God in prayer. One year, we prayed for a hay baler. We tried to buy a used one that the owner eventually gave to us, along with a commercial cook stove, meat slicer, and food mixer. That hay baler lasted many years. One year, the foreman of a big farming operation nearby asked to see me.
"You've been baling hay around here for quite a few years, haven't you?"
"Yes, sir. The boys at the ranch helped me."
"Would you like to come and harvest hay for my operation?"
"We prayed about that yesterday. We're Christians, so we have no Sunday tractors."
"I'm aware of your principles. Would you ride with me across the farm to see the hay fields?" "As you can see, it's a huge operation. We need help harvesting the hay."
"Shiloh belongs to the Lord, so we rely on God to meet our needs through faith and prayer."
"You see that newly planted field? It's dying from drought. You say Shiloh operates by faith and prayer. Would you pray for rain on that field?"
"Sir, God is not my bellhop. I don't tell God what to do."
"Oh, I'm not being flippant. I'm serious. Will you pray?"
"Yes. Yes, of course."
It was a beautiful sunny day as we drove on through his enormous acreage. When we got to the northern end, he received a call from one of his farmhands telling him that it was raining on the parched field. He turned to me and said, "When can you start making hay?" I told him I'd give him an answer in a week.
$30,000?
That's the cost of a new tractor and baler.
That's a lot of money, Jim.
Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No, but...
Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee.
What if God doesn't provide the money?
I'll have to say no to the job, honey. Our baler was used when we got it years ago, and it's unreliable. I can't start a big job and have it break down. I can just hear them saying, "Where's your God now?"
If God provides that much money, people will think we have a money tree.
Remember when I needed $1,000 to buy a newer car?
Yes, I remember.
And that day, some stranger left a $1,000 check for us at the motel in town? God answers prayer in unexpected ways. A week passed without money for the new equipment, and I had to give the man my answer. That day, someone left a newspaper on my desk, and I spotted the front page article. A treasure hunter had found a sunken ship full of treasure off the coast of Florida. We still had stock in that venture, and that night, a man in Chicago offered us $30,000 for the stock. God had provided in a unique way, and we bought our new equipment. There's not enough time to tell of all the ways the Lord has provided. We still live with a box on the wall for donations, but we built cottages on the ranch for seniors, starting with the old couple who gave us some of their son's insurance money. So now we have seniors involved in our ministry to youth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Listening friend, have you put your trust in the blood of Jesus to pay for your sins? The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But Jesus paid the debt for you by dying on the cross in your place. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You can turn to him now wherever you are and ask Jesus to save you. The Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3278. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We love hearing from you, so please write today. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.